ends of Transitions.
You are listening to The Age of Transitions. My name is Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Friday night, September 16th, 2022, live from the facilities of Ocelli.com every Friday night, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. First hour is The Age of Transitions. Second hour is Uncle the Podcast. Thank you for being here live. Thank you for listening in podcast form. Glad to have you any way you choose to listen. My website is theageoftransitions.com. That's where you can find the podcast so you can support the show. Have the Patreon campaign. If you subscribe to that for $3 or more per month, you get access to the bonus podcast feed and other material I post at Patreon. Also have my book, Revolve, Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood. That's a great way to support the show. That's paperback and ebook copies are available. There's links at the shop at theageoftransitions.com. Also have t-shirts, the Age of Transitions t-shirt, Uncle the Podcast t-shirt, and Ocelli Effect t-shirt. If you buy an Ocelli Effect t-shirt, I'll send the funds directly to Chuck. And you'll be supporting the Ocelli Radio Network, which you had ought to do, in addition to supporting the Age of Transitions. So thank you, everybody who does that. You keep the shows going. Glad that you do that. Also, check out the affiliate links, other ways to support. If you're buying books or even media online, check out bookshop.org. And the way to do that is to click through my links on theageoftransitions.com. Click through the link there to bookshop.org. When you do that, and when you buy things on bookshop.org, it will give a little kickback to me. Won't cost anything extra to you. But again, you're supporting the show as you're buying books. And also, if you're thinking about starting a podcast of your own, consider Libsyn podcast hosting service. Get 2 months for free by using promo code Franz. Or again, click through the link to Libsyn on theageoftransitions.com. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening live or pre-recorded or not pre-recorded, but in podcast form. Or if you are here live, of course, you can call in. Call in any Friday night. It's 319-527-5016 is the call-in number. You can also come on the show through Skype. You'll get a hold of Chuck by typing him a message, and he'll bring you on the show through Skype. He's charles.ocelli, so just type him a message, charles.ocelli on Skype, or call 319-527-5016. We're in the Age of Transitions. We're there. And we're all trying to make sense of things the best we can. That's what I try to do here on Friday nights, is make sense of things for myself when I'm speaking to myself here without a guest, anytime that that's happening. And doing what I can to do that. It's not easy for any of us, so just remember that. But it's okay. I mean, it's... we got lots of things going for us, and we have lots of things going against us. It's crazy, and it's always good to just take quite a few steps back and realize, realize that we can't know everything. We can't. We can only do so much. We can only know so much. But making our best effort is worthwhile. So that's. Again, that's what we're doing here, I think. And that's what I thought. You be the judge of that and let me know. Maybe something else is going on. Please let me know. Hey, call in and tell me. Call in and tell me what's actually happening. I need to know these things. Again, 319-527-5016 is the call-in number. And there's so many things that people are terrified of now. And that's... usually, being terrified is never a good thing. I'll just say that. There's no need for that. Being concerned is a good thing. Lots of reason for concern, and there's plenty of reasons that we should be, and we absolutely ought to be concerned. But terrified, no. We shouldn't let things get to us that bad. There's no point in that. But it's... so many different things. It's fascinating to see the different concepts and the different issues, different problems, different major things happening on the world stage. You see all these different trends at work at the same time, oftentimes conflicting one another, and trying to foresee how those things might resolve themselves. And it seems like some things are just so opposed to one another, you wonder how there will be resolutions. But certainly there will be, I don't know, in the Hegelian sense or whatever, but in one way or another, reality moves on. Time keeps moving, at least for us as we perceive things in our reality. Time continues forward, and we have to take things as they come. With technology as it is, and our world built up in the way that it has become, one major issue is the environmental concerns that have come about through rapid technological progress, but the rise of civilization and this speeding up of the process that is building up civilization due to technology. One of the byproducts of that is a lot of environmental degradation. And so that's a serious issue. And now, you know, it's becoming obvious that something, I mean, either we choose not to do anything, which is an option, and we could choose not to, or we decide we have to do something, which is incredible. That's very difficult because you got to figure out what that is. And one wonders what that answer even could be in our situation, because the techno-utopian way of looking at the problem is, well, we just got to keep, you know, pushing science forward and keep coming up with new technologies so we can clean up the mess we've made by doing that very thing in the first place. You know, we've built things up so much that we've created all this ridiculous amount of waste and, you know, toxic pollution of all kinds, made our corrupted the world with all sorts of toxicity due to, you know, all sorts of artificial processes that we've perfected, or nothing's ever perfected, but artificial processes that continue to improve upon themselves, as is the side note, I'll just say, I saw something that claims that Gen Z is really enthralled with the Unabomber. I don't know anything other than one headline I read about that. I found that interesting. I'm hoping that if that's the case, maybe they'll start reading Jacques Hulot, because that's his stuff is really good. And I know that the Unabomber took quite a bit from Hulot as inspiration for his famous manifesto. So I have no idea what that even means. Gen Z is all, it's probably something going on TikTok or whatever. I have no idea. But yes, technique, as described by Jacques Hulot, does a good job of explaining how it is that technological progress has changed our world, you know, over the past, since the Industrial Revolution. And of course, we hear tell of the fourth Industrial Revolution coming our way due to emerging technologies that's supposed to be happening around the corner now. And that that fourth Industrial Revolution would mark the techno-utopian triumph, where, okay, we've got these technologies at a level where we can start improving things so much that we can start cleaning up after ourselves finally. that's the optimistic techno-utopian idea. It's like, we just got to get to a point where we figure out how to clean all this stuff up that we've done. You know, it's all right. We'll figure it out. We just haven't gotten there. We got to keep moving forward. And again, it seems absurd, really, because the further we've gone, the more of a mess we've made. So I don't know how that's supposed to work. It seems, I don't know. I wish I could share that optimism. I do. I really do wish. And maybe I'm wrong in not doing so. Maybe it is possible, I suppose, that we could find all sorts of new ways to start reversing some of the things we've done. Although it's just so much. It's like one wonders how that's possible. And so it is, we're in the position that we have to, again, figure out what it is that we do, right? What do we do? And of course, it's going to be a great many things that we have to start doing. And in the political sense, this has taken the form of, you know, the green message, right? The green agenda, or the Green New Deal, right? All anything with the word green in it is the political version of at least placating this idea that we're starting to do something about all the environmental degradation we've caused. Now is the time to actually do something to start reversing the destruction we have wrought upon the natural world. And it's fascinating to see this because, you know, it takes on all of the wonderful elements of politics where, you know, some people are very much excited by the ideas. I guess it's about time. Let's make this happen. Green New Deal. I'm on board. And then you've got the other side going, being absolutely terrified of it, thinking it's anathema to American values and freedom, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It can't be. It's, Satan is behind it or some such nonsense. I don't know. And we have a call on the line. So we will go to the caller here. Glad to take your call tonight. Anyone else can call in too, by the way, 319-527-5016. But caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Jimmy James, Mule Skinner.
Hey, Mule Skinner. All right. Jimmy, you strike me as a guy that's really excited about the Green New Deal.
Oh, you mean the Democrat pay off our buddies and corporations deal and control the individual's life more deal and the loss of freedom deal? Yeah, that's good. A real great thing. It's really looking great out there. Jacked in up the price of gas, which jacks up the price of everything else. And it's all fanciful, big fart bubble garbage. There's no green energy. Let me tell you something about windmills and solar energy. It don't work at night. And there's no way to store it. Garbage.
Aren't they hoping to create some sort of batteries to store the electrical, the solar power from stored in but there's all sorts of problems with batteries as well.
Aaron, all sorts of problems. Exactly. The batteries, we need cobalt and all kinds of minerals just to keep up with current cell phone demand. This junk's going to run out in 10 years. And now you want to add fanciful electrical cars that nobody wants, only the rich can afford. And the rich just want us to have them so they can restrict our movements and travel. Oh, you go 50 miles to the next charging station. Yeah.
How do you feel, Jimmy, about the just the state of what's your thought on pollution, environmental degradation? Like, it's obviously a problem, right?
No. In fact, if you didn't you hear Mayor Mayor Pete and John F. and Kerry, the United States is a 0% emitter of so-called CO2 gas, which ain't even bad anyway. It comes out of our mouths, for God's sakes, and the plants need them.
Wait, what does that mean? We don't emit CO2 at all? What are you talking about?
What do you think I'm talking about? The United States of America. All of our cars, our miles, and our cows are 0% emitters. It doesn't get to the so-called ozone layer. That's how low it is. Why? Because we have absurd emission controls. Two, they've come up with so much stuff for, like, even those old plants that used to burn coal. They got technologies where we emit practically nothing. And what we do emit, the plants, that's what they use for oxygen, Aaron.
And yes, we need them. I know.
And that hole in the ozone layer, it closed. There is no hole in the ozone layer anymore, Aaron. What happened? Well, the computer models didn't know what they were talking. The computer models say what the computer technician, programmer, guy wanting the grant from Uncle Sam, old Sugar Sam. Sure. It'll just say,
well,
what he wants.
Let's not even think about anthropogenic climate change and CO2. Let's just throw that out the window. We're not even talking about that. What do you think about, like, deforestation and just obviously us, like, you know, throwing garbage into the river and toxic waste? What's your thought on that?
Hold on. I'm a conservationist. I'm for everything you're saying. Your group right now wants to burn down the Amazon because they say it's emitting too much CO2 gas. They're not. 20 years ago is the exact opposite.
Not sure what my group is, but okay. To me, obviously, we create a lot of waste. We're creating more than we really had ought to do. It's just a natural consequence of, again, technological progress, and also. You know, it is a fraction of the population.
With the idea that technology is really advancing. Only in the certain areas, computers, synthetic drugs, to kill people. Yeah. Whoop-dee-doo. Yeah. Where's the moon base? I should have had a moon base 22 years ago. What's going on here? Where's the real stuff that I could touch? I don't care about the metaverse.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, it's a crazy issue because clearly, I mean, as far as I'm concerned,
what was wrong with the hybrids? Yes, the hybrid cars. What's wrong with that? What, they don't want us to get 100 miles a gallon? Exactly, because they think they could push us into these golf carts.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be cynical about it like that and be like, yeah, this is just a money grab and they're just figuring out a way to shift things to a new sort of economy where they can make money off of that. And it's not about, cleaning up anything. It's just about an alternative. So, I mean, I get that. And again, that, it goes to the point where we're claiming that we're fixing a problem where we're just kind of shifting things around and changing the nature of the same problem. So when it comes down to it, that's like really how I see it.
Hold on, Aaron. Hold on. I want to know, what is the big problem that you foresee? I don't get it. Are you scared of the weather? You
foresee?
Think the worst the weather's ever been? Do you really believe that?
I mean,
Hey, Aaron, did you know by the year 2000, California's going to have break off from the mainland?
Well, I mean, just simple access.
By the year 2000, we're going to be in the ice age. Never happened. Never happened. The killer bees are going to get us all. Never happened. Well,
The predictions are always stupid because it ends up being something other than what they actually predict. I mean, just access to clean water is difficult. And access in these western states out here, access to water is a serious issue. And I don't know. The future doesn't look good, I got to say, for states like California, Nevada, Arizona.
Terrible.
It's
for
not good.
Your policies, you're going to go down right the toilet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the more we move forward and build up, the more problems we have.
Forward. You can forget that come November. What you call forward, I call backwards. What you call forward, I call decivilization.
I'm not even linking to this to politics. I'm just talking about civil.
I'm saying that there's a movement right now to, quite frankly, deindustrialize us. This is ridiculous.
Well, I mean,
Alan, aren't they telling you guys in California you can only run your water so many hours and junk?
Yeah. Well, I mean it. I would complain about it, but it's absolutely – the problem is it's necessary at this point. Again, the water is running out. If people don't, like, get rid of their stupid-ass green grass lawns and watering the hell out of them, then we're going to run out of drinking water.
Right,
it's idiotic.
How can you be running out of water? You're right on the ocean. Come on, man. What's needed is innovation and work.
You can't water your yard with salt water, and you certainly can't drink it either.
Aaron, innovation. You can clean salt water. They do it on submarines every day and Navy ships.
Well, all I'm saying is if they make grass illegal out here, I'm not going to shed a tear about it. And the thing is, I know people be whining that it's like infringing on freedom, but it's like freedom to what? Have something useless? Like, who cares? Like, you don't need a green lawn. And again, like the issue of survival is bigger than the issue of freedom to do whatever you want.
Oh, come on, man. Hey, did you watch that show, Inconvenient Truth? The world's going to end in 10 years, and that was 21 years ago. AOC said, 10 years? Well, we're at 6 years into her prediction. We'll see. I predict we'll be fine and dandy.
There's a lot of, I don't know. To me, things don't look good. And I'm not claiming I know what the answers are here. I mean, you could come at it from an anarcho-primitivist sort of perspective of like, look, the whole project that is technological progress and civilization as we know it is doomed to failure to begin with. And honestly, in the most basic form of it, I understand that logic and I agree with it. Although the conundrum is, what the hell do you even do about it? Because it's not just like we can turn the switch of civilization off at this point. You can't do it.
I don't want to. I'm kind of against turning off civilization.
Yeah, you can't do it at this point.
Apparently you can. Apparently you can make the whole country stay in their house for 2 years.
Yeah, but that wasn't really turning things off, was it? People were buying more junk on Amazon than they ever were before. And if you worked with the public and if you worked out in, like, you saw people like buying more things than ever. So it's not like that even really did anything.
I'm saying they can be easily manipulated.
Well, yeah, anything can be manipulated. But, I don't know.
Other than that, not really. Try to manipulate a wild bear. Go manipulate a tree. People. People are the problem. That's what you guys don't get. You keep talking about systems. The systems aren't the problem. Crap in, crap out.
Well, people are stuck in a system that forces them into certain lines of behavior that they don't have any choice in the matter of. And part of that behavior is consuming
to go into your houses and couldn't eat out while you have a big old juicy steak.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not claiming to have answers, Jimmy. Anything, but all I have is questions. I just
I'm just adding along. I'm not. If I sound mad at you, I'm definitely not, dude. I'm just. I got to talk to a liberal when I can because around here, liberals are as rare as unicorns.
Michigan? Yeah.
Well, in the part I live in.
Yeah.
Downstate, there's some liberals. I guess.
There's a couple. There might be two or three of them in the city of Detroit, from what I hear. But I'm not sure about that. I've never been there.
Clinton pretty much choose their governor, so apparently there's more of them than us.
Yeah, and...
All right, bud, I'll just let you go. If you want, but sure, I didn't mean to be agitated.
No, it was fun. I enjoyed it, Jimmy. So we'll talk again, and thank you for calling. I'm glad to have anybody on here, actually. About to take your call, man. So I will talk to you soon. Take care, man. All right. So there goes Jimmy. We're just having a little back and forth about what do we do in this situation. And again, the politicization of all of this, I don't know. It's just, it never goes anywhere to me because, I mean, again, the left will placate anybody who is concerned about the environment. Again, we're painting with a broad brush here. Anybody that is concerned at all, the Democrats, the left, is always happy to placate that in one way or another. You know, see the Green New Deal, whatever that even is. And, you know, the whole time, what are they actually doing? And how do we expect them not to just, as they always do, figure out some way to make business better for all of their donors, their particular donors, and the people that, you know, support them, and just turn this into, like, some deal that works out in their favor? And secondarily, maybe something good happens to the environment, but probably not. Probably not really. And then you've got the other side, which thinks it's just ludicrous that the idea that there even is, you know, any sort of environmental problem at all. And again, if God forbid somebody tells them they can't have grass in California of all places, they have a fit about it. When if, you know, if we were just like looking outside at nature, you look out here and I'm not going to say there's no grass, but the kind of grass on people's lawns, no, it does not exist in nature. It doesn't need to be here. It shouldn't be here. It's a slap in the face of nature as far as I'm concerned. So to see that go is just like, yeah, okay, it's at least beginning to, you know, look at the natural world and say, oh, I see my natural surroundings, and I am going to adapt to them. I'm not going to force my natural surroundings to be some weird, bizarre utopian vision I have where I have to pipe in water from, you know, another continent or something just to make it make it happen. That's an exaggeration, but you know what I mean. So, you know, the politics isn't going to get us anywhere. However, I mean, we're stuck in this situation again. What do we do? And the whole, I mean, the politicizing of the greening thing is not going away. I'm sorry to say it's going to be more and more an aspect of life. And it's going to be more and more a part of politics. It's going to be more and more a part of, you know, we're people at least paying lip service to the idea that we're doing something in the face of so many, so much craziness. At least, you know, we say we're doing something. And it's going to take all sorts of ridiculous forms, and people will be very upset about that. And yeah, I don't know. Now, meanwhile, the other thing that kind of – one of the things that goes hand in hand with this whole environmental degradation thing that we've heard a lot of, more so in the past than we even do today, there was a lot of the concern over overpopulation. Overpopulation was like this huge problem, and you know, the eugenics crowd was always looking for ways to sell the idea that we need to reduce the population. We need to get programs put forward where we reduce the population, right? That sort of thing. And now, I mean, the eugenics thing has finally fallen out of favor, thank God. However, what we find happening is that depopulation is happening naturally. There's no, you don't have to put forward reproductive laws or population laws or things like that, like China did famously. China is now reeling from the effects of their one-child policy, as well as the accompanying infanticide of female children that Chinese families had. A lot of times they would kill the female, would be their firstborn, and they would kill the female in lieu of having a male son. So that was something that happened, and now the population, I forget what generation it is, but it might be Gen Z even, or maybe millennials, I don't know. But there's a disproportionate amount of males to females, and then that's caused all sorts of problems. Men can't find mates, you know, and reproduction and the population, they're having population woes there, that they don't have enough people reproducing, and the population's dwindling. And the same thing is happening here in the West too, is that population numbers are beginning to go down as a natural consequence of so many different things. One of those things being, you know, what they like to call the bribe of the motor car. I forget who it was that I've heard describe that, but basically it's, you know, in first world countries where standard of living is higher, people are so they're so busy with their careers and being good producers and consumers that they don't have families as a consequence of that. And so that's one thing happening. There's all sorts of different factors, but I've heard a lot of people kind of talk about and speculate that population numbers may drop even more here in the future. And again, it depends on how you look at it, but again, the big problem was overpopulation in the past. Now that's even come to the point where it's reversed, and now depopulation and underpopulation is the problem, which to me I find fascinating. But but yeah, that'll be really interesting to see how that plays out in decades to come, where population numbers go And there's so many different stories about Gen Z. Again, we're talking about Gen Z a lot, but they're the younger generation now. So many of them are choosing and voicing their opinions, saying they don't want anything to do with having children. They never will have children. And they give a long list of reasons why. The main one typically ends up being, again, economic, because nobody can afford to have children anymore. At least they believe that. So there. So yeah, we've got all sorts of issues. We've got economic, social, civilizational, massive issues that run to the core of, you know, what society and civilization even is, and what are we doing? And it breaks down to the questions, the basic questions of what is it that we're doing and what is it that we think we're doing, as opposed to what is it that we're actually doing. Always two different things. And we have our ideals, don't we? We got plenty of them. And again, half the population has one ideal, half the population has another. And so it is that we're caught, the rest of us are caught up in the middle, trying to figure out where it is that we actually are and where it is that we're going. And yeah, we don't have a choice in so many things. We don't have a choice of what this world is, what it's become, how it's organized, because everything is a mass. Everything's massive, so massive. And we're forced into this massive system that we really can't do anything about. But again, we're here at task trying to figure out the little things that we might be able to do. And again, maybe even just trying to understand things at least a little bit, a little bit. We can only do so much, but that's okay. I don't know about everybody here, but I do believe that there is such a thing as environmental degradation. And you have to admit that the climate is changing. Now, the big argument occurs, again, whether it's anthropogenic or whether it's not. I think you have to concede that in some way that it must be somehow. And again, we get on the CO2 thing. Is CO2 as bad as they say it is? Is that the real thing? We're just making so much waste. And again, just the toxicity we just expel all around us, that has an effect. That does something. We're doing a lot more than nothing. And so I think the choice to try to be better is the right one. And so it is in the future. We have to figure out how to stop being as destructive as we have been. And I don't know what that is, but I think just making the choice of, you know what, why don't we do something, you know, a little more than nothing. I think that's probably the right choice. But yeah, again, a difficult one to make given our situation. Because we kind of want it, we always want it both ways. We want technological progress and progress of civilization to move forward. We want to keep building and keep growing, while at the same time there's this pulling back in the name of the green agenda, right? We have to pull back in order to lessen our footprint and be good stewards of the earth. How do you do both of those at the same time? We want to believe that we can. I think the future is going to be the story of whether that even is possible or not. I'm not here to say how that's going to work itself out, but we're already in the middle of that happening. Okay, in the chat room, we've got Phase Shifter. The overall ecological crises isn't the same thing as the so-called climate change political agenda. Yeah, no. No, it's not. And that, again, it's they're making this whole big political show out of things. And is it really in our interest to listen to that? Probably not. Probably not. So yeah, I can't say that. I can't sit here selling the Green New Deal. I'm not going to do that. And because again, I don't know if anybody even knows what that is personally. I think it's just like one of those political buzzwords they like to throw around out there to act like something is happening. I don't know. I don't know what to do. And here we are. That's how we all feel. That's the point that we always get to when we start thinking about these things. Like, I don't know what to do. And then, you know, just trying not to break down completely and give up all hope. That's not an option. Can't do that. So we have to figure something out. And so let's try to do that. Again, we're not doing that tonight on this show, but I'm just putting it out there. It's like, well, now what? And honestly, back to Gen Z, that's what a lot of them are doing now. Like a lot of them are really upset at the older generations, and they feel like they've been let down because they're inheriting this world that's burning, that's polluted, where the resources are depleted, there's nothing left but ruin. That's what they see, and ruin ecologically, but ruin economically as well, because the economic system is having so many problems. And the kids just can't make their way. They can't get ahead anyway. So what are they to do? And back over to China again. The youth there are doing all sorts of lots of interesting things happening with them. There was that laying flat movement where they decide, like, you know, I'm over this, like, just this overachieving stuff, and that's kind of come around to them deciding that you know, just living a normal life where you don't have to be some great person. You don't have to aspire to be some wealthy, powerful person. That's actually wrong to do. And that, you know, being a normal person is virtuous. And, you know, just getting by with all that you need is really the right thing to do. And why even try to do anything else? So there is a lot of the younger generation isn't throwing up their hands, but they are kind of pointing to the rest of us saying, like, you know, what have you all been doing? And how could you even expect this insanity to continue? We're done. You know, it ends with us. We're not killing ourselves for what? We don't understand what you even got out of it in the first place. There's nothing for us there. So what do you think? What do you think we're going to do? And so, you know, I don't know. I mean, what? And again, the wealth and the resources are all funneling up to the top. They're all being siphoned up to the top and taken by a tiny minority. And more that's the case. More and more that's just glaringly obvious. That can't even be covered up at all anymore. It's just stated fact. And really, why? I mean, what do you expect when that is just common knowledge? It's like, yeah, a tiny, tiny percentage of the population own everything. They have access to all of the resources. They have all the wealth. They don't even share. They share but a tiny fraction with everybody else, just so they can all scrape by. They use tremendous resources living out their lives. And again, they're a tiny, tiny fraction of the population using an incredible amount of resources just for their own sake. I mean, I don't know what that segment of the population is thinking, but I you see it work itself out in the insanity of luxury doomsday bunkers and things like this. So this a new popular, and it's been a popular investment for, I want to say, at least a decade now, longer than that, but it gets more and more popular all the time. Again, amongst the elite portion of the population, those that can afford such things. And that's utter insanity. There's no possible way that would even work. One of their luxury bunkers and things. It's not even practical when you actually sit down and think about it. But nothing has to be practical. Nothing has to make sense. It just has to be marketable. And look and see. If you feel bad about the fact that we're all rubes to marketing, we've all been duped, we all have been by it, you can't feel too bad, because even, again, the so-called elite portion of our population gets equally duped. They're just spending more money. So you could argue that marketing affects them to a greater extent. You're talking about percentage and numbers in terms of dollars. They're spending more money on everything. And so, you know, all this marketing stuff affects them more. Marketing doesn't affect people that don't have the luxury to even spend any money in the first place, I guess. You know? So, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I don't know how that, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be horrifying, surely, the next few decades, I'm thinking. There's going to be some crazy stuff going on. It already has been. But I get the feeling there's going to be crazier things yet to come. And there's really no way out of it, because the foot is on the accelerator and there's no taking it off. It's been glued there, like Elwood Blues did to that country band in their RV in the Blues Brothers. We've got our foot super glued to the pedal, and we're driving an extremely heavy vehicle down the road. Or you go flying into a body of water. That body of water probably won't be anywhere in the inland portion of the West, because there's no water left in until you hit the coast, where, yes, the ocean is there. but you get to the ocean and it's almost like it's almost like nature is staring back at you and almost laughing. It's like, yes,
you're about to have a caller on Skype, Aaron.
A caller on Skype? Okay. That's good. Thanks, Chuck. Okay, so caller, again, you can call in the phone or Skype. So this is a Skype caller. So caller, Skype caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, it's Ray from Australia, mate.
Hey, Ray, what's up, man? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I was finishing off my 2 week leave.
Okay,
cool.
Hey, Ray, you're a bit muffled for some reason. Is there something covering up your mic?
I've got an earbud in. Hang on. I'll take it out and go there too.
Okay, earbud. Yeah.
Are you having trouble hearing him, Aaron, or understanding?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, okay. It is definitely a bit muffled for sure. So, yeah, just switch it up there, Ray, and when you do, just say hello, and we'll see how that sounds. But, yeah, let's see here. I see Ray in the chat room.
Is that better?
Yeah, you sound way better. Yeah, I can understand that better, Ray. Thank you.
Ah, sweet. Yeah.
What's on your mind tonight, man?
Well, where were we? I lost track.
Well, generally, I'm just talking about, you know, pollution, environmental degradation, how it's just kind of a consequence of where we are with society, civilization. Are the techno-utopians correct in that we just keep pushing forward so we find a way to clean this all up? Or is that insanity where we're going to make just more of a mess? Any of that stuff? Any? Did you want to talk about that? Or you can talk about something completely different, right? That's fine by me, too.
Well, I think the whole system of EVs and that, it's not really addressing the emissions issue because it's just transferring it from the car to the power plant.
Yeah. Yeah, true. And you got to make power.
You got to generate the electricity to charge the EV.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's come out with the numbers on like emissions, like, well, this makes this many emissions to make electricity and we could power this many vehicles. And that's different from internal combustion engines because they do this much. I don't know. Somebody might have done the numbers on that. I'm not aware of it. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think someone has done the numbers on it. I haven't looked at it really. It kind of makes sense. All they're doing with an EV vehicle is transferring the tailpipe to the to the power station instead of it coming out of the back of the car.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and they're trying to figure out, of course, the idea is how to make the electricity clean. Yeah. There's the idea of nuclear fusion is popular too, as opposed to the current method of fission, where it'd be way more efficient, and that could be a good way of generating power. So that kind of goes towards the techno-utopian thing. It was like, look, we get cleaner energy by, you know, something like that. So I don't know. But that's all dependent on us being able to do that sort of thing.
Also depends on the money willing to go into it.
Mm-hmm.
There's always that corporate side of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, you can't help but be cynical like that because it just everything ends up working itself out like that. And then you kind of get scolded for being cynical. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? Like, you know, I just see how everything else has come about. And it's always the same story where, you know, the insiders get their kickbacks and they get they get the politicians to do their bidding so they can make their money. And that's just the basics of it. Yeah.
They get their fame and fortune and everyone else gets a bum deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But anything else? What anything else on your mind?
I was looking at the chat and Face just mentioned Beyond Beef. Yeah, I reckon that's mislabeled. It's nowhere near beef.
You know, well, that's the thing. Like, they're making these alternatives to meat, right? These plant-based alternatives. And they're still, like, they're trying to make imitations of the meat. Like, maybe, like, why don't they just say, like, okay, look, this is plant stuff. Again, like, you know, tofu has a bad connotation, but maybe they should try to like market it in such a way where it's like, look, this isn't beef. It's they give it like a brand new name. It's this thing. We created it, but it tastes good. Let's see what you think of that. Like, why don't they just start doing that?
I can't believe it's not me.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, you got, I can't believe it's not butter.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it's not me.
They could get Fabio out to be the spokesperson for it. Like, he was the butter spokesman. You could do the Beyond Meat thing, yeah. Or the modern equivalent. I don't know if Fabio's even around anymore, but we could find somebody that's equivalent to Fabio, I'm sure.
Chris Hemsworth.
There we go. He'll do
it. Yeah, get Thor to promote it.
Yeah. Yeah, that does make sense, actually. I can see that guy doing that. Yeah. Maybe Jason Momoa might be into the idea. We'll have to talk to his people about that. We'll see.
Well, Aquaman.
Mm-hmm. He's big on the environmental scene, I know. So he might be willing to do it. I don't know. We'll see.
That could be a thing. Well, if it does become a thing, you got to hear it first.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll make sure that you get credit for that, Ray. And I'll be sure that all the stakeholders and interested parties know that. Otherwise, they'll be speaking to your attorney. That's what's going to happen.
I don't have an attorney.
We could find you.
An attorney now?
Well, yeah, I think so. You're going to. In this intellectual property realm you've ventured into here, you're going to want a really good one. We can get you one, I'll bet.
All I did was put an idea out there.
It's called intellectual property. It's not an idea, okay? There's value attached to that, Ray.
I am going to need a lawyer.
Yeah, see, I told you. But thanks for calling. Ray, if you want to, you can stay on the line and come on the Uncle Show. Do you think you want to stay on the line or you want to get going?
Yeah, I'll stay on the line for a bit.
Okay, cool, great. So just hang in there. Thanks for calling. We'll be, again, anybody listening live, this will be the Uncle Show in mere minutes. So thank you for listening live on Ocelli Radio Network, live every Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Here we are, moving from one show to the next. Government hour is nearly over. And I did talk quite a bit about the government tonight. My God, what a mess. What am I thinking? A little bit about the government, not that much, but probably still too much. Yes, so theageoftransitions.com is the website. Thank you for your support of this show. My name is Aaron Franz, and as always, I will leave you by saying, seek or seek on.
The Age of Transition.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Ocelli.com.
What would I do?
Revelation through conversation. In a radio show / podcast. You want the good news? Listen to the Ocelli Effect. Chuck Ocelli is the most underrated voice in all media. News, education, and entertainment. The Daily Bread from Ocelli.com. Go there. Save yourself from ignorance. Ocelli.com. But we all agreed to put Ocelli.com on and listen to the Ocelli Effect. Revelation through conversation. Ocelli.com.
Uncle, do you remember that time when the year 2012 was going to create the apocalypse, end of the world?
Right. And I thought it would come to the end.
Did it ever end up that way?
No. Yeah. Like we say, the only way it will end is when he is ready for it to end. That's how it is.
So if you want the real truth about 2012, you better listen to the Ocelli.com radio network.
Radio podcast.com.
Yeah, forget it's John Cusack.
John Cusack
doesn't know, what, talking
know
about.
What he's talking actually about. Correct.
But we here at the Ocelli Radio Network sure do.
We sure understand and understand where it's actually coming from.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Hearsay, slander, rumors. There's a G for that. Okay? So how do you combat it? Slowly, carefully, painfully. It's a painful process.
I want them to appreciate the incredible job we're doing. We are doing a job the likes of which has never been done before. You're going to have mental depression for people. You're going to have large numbers of suicides.
Take a look at what happens in a really horrible recession.
So you're going to have tremendous suicide. You know what you're going to have more than anything else? Drug addiction. Or you will see drugs being used like nobody's ever used them before. And people are going to be dying all over.
Revelation through conversation.
Warning, 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 warning.
This is a Mercy broadcast. Code Red, here we are. Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and have me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this. Because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Podcast.
You are listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name is Aaron. I'm the nephew-in-law here. This the start of the show, Uncle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. 276. We are at tonight. Now, we have people on the line. This is the Comedy Hour. No more government hour, sidekick.
Thank goodness. Thank you, Uncle.
We are going to have a comedy hour tonight. Now, who is going to be the first comedy man to be talking on this phone? Hello.
Why don't we
speak
bring our...
on the telephone? Somebody's on the line. Hello, who's there?
Let's bring in our Skype caller.
But the Skype man. I'm Skype man.
Skype man.
Enter in.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you got Uncle and Aaron. It's Ray from Australia.
Doing out there. How do I go through the walkabout? Get that walkabout straight.
Yeah, I haven't been walking about in a while, and yeah, just having some time off from work. Thought I'd call in.
Okay, cool. Glad to have you, Ray.
Anyway.
I would suggest that we could get your video up, Ray, if you were so inclined, but I don't know. We're having some technical difficulties. I think it's probably best if we don't even try, unfortunately.
Yeah, I wasn't going to try because I haven't done video call on Skype before. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
thank you.
Now we've got...
Video itself.
All right, good.
We have that new thing now, though.
We do.
We do have a new thing going.
We
got to work on, though, on my new evolution, I'm going to get Sidekick here to get working on that because I want to see the people on my evolution show.
Yes.
That would be good.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Looking to. I mean, it'd be something. That's what I'm aiming for him to do.
The revolution's definitely around the corner, you know, like New Year's Eve will be here before you know it.
Yeah, I know. Well, here it is. It's only into Thanksgiving. We're going into October, going to Halloween. Two more months.
It's great to have you, Ray. Stay on the anyway. Line. And, Uncle, do you want to take our other call while we're
Well, we got the people here. Okay. And then, stay on the line anyway. And, Tensi, who?
What's happening?
Oh, whoa, hey. Ooh. I know who this is. Caller, why don't you introduce yourself?
Ooh. Live and uncut. Only way to go is Cooley Digital 5-0.
Cooley!
There we go.
Boy, Cooley Hot Socks! What?
Cooley
hey,
Digital.
I found out something. What's happening? You're a band? Your band
yeah.
is in the guitar business, and they were in this Amazon show-off. They were there. Did you hear them? Gooby?
I didn't know anything about it, bro.
That, yeah, well, they made the list.
Oh, you're saying Amazon?
Amazon made the list of him.
The best what, bands, is it?
Guitar.
The best guitarist. Okay, so Slash was on the Slash from Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses. Slash, yeah.
To Amazon.
Yeah, Asher.
Is that right, Cooley? You think you got that right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Uncle's right. Slash is a hell of a guitarist.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Cooley, we have.
And how are you, fellas?
We're good. All right. I mean, yeah, you know, just doing the same old thing. We've been busy. I've been super busy lately, but here Friday nights, make it the microphone, relax a little bit. It's cool. It's glad to how have you been?
How you been?
Well, I've been turning wrenches on that old heavy Chevy, dressing it up a little differently. And tonight I'm hanging out with the Cooley crew, Cooley Digital crew.
Any news you get on my thing yet? On like arm or whatever?
The tattoo
yet? Yeah. I was just wondering. Not yet?
No. He's been super busy, too. I got to put training in the Chevy. So probably this week coming, I'm going to have it done.
Okay. I just was wondering.
Cooley's a busy man, Uncle.
I wanted to see it on Instagram. We'll see it on Instagram.
We will see that on Instagram.
I just was going to see.
Yeah. But Cooley, we have another caller on the line. We got Ray from Australia.
Australia, there's another guy on the line.
You want to say hi to him?
Yeah. Go ahead.
What's up, Ray?
Ray. How you going, Cooley? Yeah, I got pretty much the
same. How you doing, buddy?
Same deal. Yeah, good, mate. After show, I'm going to be doing the brakes on my car.
Oh, brakes on a car.
I could do that blindfolded.
Yeah, but you're on the other side of the planet. I can't get you to help me, mate.
In a perfect world, Cooley could be beamed to any location.
Where's that transport attack from Star Trek?
Franz can tell you I'm there, Corey.
It's true.
Yeah.
I've seen
Sorry, I missed that.
He can tear a car apart, and can put it back together.
Yeah, I can do the same.
And that, and I can spice them up pretty good.
Spice them up. Oof.
You're talking about the demolition derby, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'll have one next year, buddy.
Oh, you're entered? You already entered into it, or what?
I'm looking for a car for next year.
Okay, okay. Oh, shopping for cars, cool.
Shop.
Yeah, is this cool with the
more sure I have your logo on.
Yeah, Ray, to answer your question, yes, this is Cooley with the Woostang. Do you have any questions for Cooley, Ray?
Yeah, I
don't know. I'm a big fan of the Fox Body Mustangs.
I got a 1979 5L, then a 93 Cobra convertible set up for drag.
Awesome.
And then I got a 98
yeah, that's right, Ray.
Convertible Mustang.
Ray is the Ford freak. Isn't that like your Ford nickname freak. Online or your screen name or whatever?
Yeah, it's my screen name, gamer tag.
Yeah.
Ooh. So both you and Cooley,
them two are good. Them two good partners.
Yeah.
Those it sounds like those two get along pretty well.
Yeah,
with cars.
Yes.
Yeah, yo.
Great minds are Team Ford.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. That the way they're talking, I can understand. I can understand that.
Yeah, back in the late 30s, Ford developed a composite plastic with hemp, sisal, and flax. I think it was. It was stronger than steel. They made like 10 cars, maybe. This is a project.
Those cars still out there somewhere?
The faster, the better.
I'm not sure if they're still out there. I think we were pretty much scrapped for being too good.
We've seen some car shows lately, and there were some nice ones.
You've been to car shows, Uncle?
Yeah, the one, remember? No, you haven't been. Me and your wife have. We were walking around, we saw a few.
Oh, actually, when we were in Yucca Valley that one day, remember in the parking lot of Harbor Freight, they had that car show?
That's what that was cool. There was some in Harbor Freight, their show going on, and we went over to it, and we saw the pretty good motors to these things.
Mm-hmm. Walk up to something like that.
Yeah.
Do you ever take any of your stuff to car shows, Cooley?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I got I took the red Woostang to car show. Well, I don't know how long ago it's been, but I got the top 25 in it.
All right.
Well, that's cool.
What about you, Ray? Do you go to car shows? Do you take any vehicles to car shows?
Yeah.
I do go to the occasional car show, but I haven't entered a car yet. But I might enter my current car. Even though it's not a Ford.
I'm telling you.
It's a Subaru Forester GT.
Oh, a Subaru Forester? Is that what it is?
Yeah, GT one. It's got the WRX running gear.
Oh, cool. So you're one of those Subaru. That's interesting. Telephone. I like those modified.
Oh, here's our third caller coming in. Oh, we don't have anybody. I think we have a caller.
Caller. We're going to have to take it. So
I have to take it. Hang in, you two. Who is on this line and away from? On the line with the comedy band.
Jimmy Hello? James. I got
caller,
a question.
You're on
Hello, this is Jimmy James.
I knew it was Jimmy's going to call. I knew it was him.
You question. Didn't know that. You didn't know.
Oh.
It was a pretty good guess, though. Oh, yeah.
How did I know?
My
I knew it was going to be.
One of my neighbors, I was looking in their barn. They got this funny little car, AC Cobra, I think it said. They want $1,200 for it. Seems kind of pricey to me. What do you think, Ford Freak?
For an AC Cobra? $1,200. Yeah. There should be a couple of extra zeros attached to it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Some old lady had it set as a 63 AC Cobra. Is that worth anything?
You looking for another one?
Should be for the right collector.
What do you think? Them are any good, them cars?
Well, they are collectible. Like, very collectible.
Wouldn't that be the predecessor to the Shelby Mustang?
Yeah, it is.
Where's that Wu-Tang Mustang, man? Where's that Wu-Tang Mustang, man? What the hell?
I'm not here.
I thought... Where are you at, Cooley?
Who's that?
Hey,
Cooley, you're up.
Cobra, the predecessor to the Shelby Mustang or not?
Yeah, but the Shelby Mustang would leave it in the dust.
Hello.
Okay, he would be.
Anything about a race? I just said that the AC Cobra.
What's going on downstairs?
The car that...
Hello.
My advice would be if it's $1,200 for an AC Cobra, buy it.
Over $100.
Boy,
but no, but you wait until
no AC Cobra for less than $100,000. But,
exactly.
You put
so if it's $1,200,
you have to add insurance to it though.
What kind of shape is it in? What kind of shape is it in? Is the question.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
If it's $1,200, it's got to be in really bad condition.
Yeah. Right,
but even the chassis and the body.
It's a total joke. It's a myth.
Oh,
the car in the barn.
Okay.
Do you really
hold on a minute.
Found an AC Cobra for $1,200 in a barn?
No. That's what I said. If you found one, buy
it. Wait a minute. You've got to add insurance to it. But you've got to add insurance to that.
I figured this was a put-on, too.
I've seen people pick
add
up
insurance,
things.
You're probably going a little higher.
Listen, I've seen people pick up things like that at estate sales before where it's, like, impossibly low because they're just getting rid of everything, and they just discover a car and throw it out there. I've seen it done.
Yeah.
So it's not insane. It's just highly unlikely. But, you know, I mean, but then again, if you had something that was totally destroyed and, you know, was barely salvageable and somebody was trying to sell it at $1,200, you're probably still doing good with that. But, you know, depends.
Well, as a comparison, my old man picked up a Lincoln Town Car from 1974 in the States.
Mm.
I think he got it for like $1,800.
Yeah, well, those are sought after because people like to trick them out and, you know, make them...
And that was an estate car.
Yeah. But,
It had all the extra pillow on the seats and everything. It's really
and
nice
I paid $600.
You paid $600 on it?
Yeah, that's right. I'm getting it all pimped out, Uncle. You'd love it. I blacked out the headlights. I'm blacking out the windows. It's a white car. I'm doing all black and white. PT Cruiser, you'd like it.
PT Cruiser. Put on the Instagram. I have to
PT
check
Cruiser.
It out. You guys, you can put that on. You can put it on Instagram when you can.
Going on Instagram.
I gotta see. I see it
now. PT Cruiser.
Oh yeah, PT Cruiser.
You better change that time valve before $200,000.
Oh.
Is that a problem with it there, Cooley?
Yep.
Cooley, don't they also put insurance, though, on top of all this car expense?
Yeah, what about insurance, Cooley?
What's the insurance about in all these things?
Mine's only like $79 a month for three vehicles.
Cooley lives in Canada, guys.
That isn't dang bad. That ain't dang bad. I tell you, that ain't bad. For $75 for that many vehicles?
That's one Wu-Tang. I got a van and a Chevy.
In Jersey, you couldn't insure hubcaps for $75. I tell you,
just says yes for $75.
I think Cooley, you need to figure out a consulting business where you're a financial advisor to people. I think that'd be a good business where you get into, Cooley.
Since you're into cars and all that,
I got my eyes looking for a 79 Cadillac Hearse. I want to make a 4-wheel drive Cadillac Hearse.
Wait. What year Cadillac Hearse this time, Michael Lee?
1979.
Oh, yeah, that was, you're talking about the Hearse, aren't you now?
The Hearse was 79.
Yep. I got that's what one of the Fox bodies is, Uncle.
That was.
I'll throw all you Ford people a curveball.
Hello.
Okay. I'll throw all you Ford people a curveball. See what you think about this one. I had a friend a long time ago, but he had for the longest time a 1971, I think it was, Dodge Demon, and I thought it was one of the better cars from that era. So, what do you guys think of the Dodge Demon? And you ever heard of it?
Beautiful, beautiful, Chuck. Beautiful. That's a beautiful car. A Dodge Demon, a Dodge Roadrunner, a Dodge Hellcat. Beautiful cars.
Yeah.
Plymouth Series.
No, he didn't have that. It was just the.
Didn't have a Roadrunner.
No, it was. It didn't have a Hemi, and it was. I forget what I forget all the specs on it, but it was like the very, very basic run in 71.
Anything with a name like Demon had to have had at least a 440 in it.
Yeah. Pretty sure it was. I think it was. I got to think about this. It was that color green that was almost like Dodge had that military color green almost, that paint?
Yeah, the lime green.
Yeah, well, it wasn't quite lime. It was like this really, like, it was kind of a dingy sort of, again, almost like a fatigue green.
More of an olive green.
Yeah, like an olive green. Right. Exactly. But the way it looked, you know. By the time I saw this thing, it was kind of dingy looking. It was like that fatigue color almost. So, you know. But I thought it was a great car. It's basically just a Duster and a Dart combined is what a Demon was. And they had trouble marketing it, so they only made them for, like, what, 3 years, I think, right? Or 4 years? So, but I thought it was great.
Limited production.
Yeah, limited production, too. Because they just did not market well, the Dodge Demon.
Yeah, I don't remember.
That's so strange.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church was going to put in a huge order for them until they learned the name. We were counting on that account, Johnson. Who named this thing?
I would have thought, you know, it would have been a great, you know, sort of a marketing thing, you know, but apparently it went in the other direction. They did not sell well, and I don't know. All I can say is if somebody finds one of these things sometime, definitely pick it up and restore it if it's even got remotely something to work with, is if you see a Dodge Demon around, because they're pretty cool. And like I said, it's pretty much like a Duster and a Dart. What's that?
Did it have a push button shifter? Did it have a push button shifter?
No, it did not.
That's odd. Most of the Dodges in that era did.
And you never seen a push button shifter auto ever since, really.
Yeah, but it didn't have one. It was, you know, again, it was a very basic version of it. Apparently there was a more powerful version of it, same run, you know, but I think
probably the Hellcat that was going to be the one for the nuns, but it didn't work out. Sure. bad naming, man. That's why Johnson got canned.
Johnson got canned. Oh.
Yeah, he did.
These knobs again.
He was a real bad. That guy, Albert Johnson, this guy, he had a main message. Drinking lemonade. Oh. He kept going, coming up me. But he just, his ideas didn't work out.
Oh. Hmm.
Oh, well.
But wow. After his crisis, he went to Ford and he came up with the Ford, what's that one that meant lemon in Spanish?
Yeah.
Limon?
Limoning.
What is a lemon in Spanish?
I don't know.
It's the name of a Ford car from the 70s. A Lima? What the heck? No. A Ford. Come on, Ford Freak. Where you at?
Ford. Ford Man. Citroën.
The Citroën is a French
brand. It's a Citroën
brand.
Ford Citroën.
Citroën.
Right?
That's a whole brand. I guess.
Ford Citroën,
hey,
he's
Ford
saying.
Guy, what was the name of Little
Ford Citroën.
Ford cars that needed that in this.
So you got to say that again.
The only thing I fucking Ford is Ford Mustang. No,
Ford Mustang.
The tiny little cars. What was the little Ford cars that they sold in America? And they tried to sell them in Mexico, but in Spanish.
Pinto? They're saying Pinto.
Pinto?
Is
Pinto
Ed
something?
Is in the chat.
Pinto
is that what
something.
You mean?
Pinto? And they had the Bobcat.
Ford Pinto. That sounds funny.
Yeah, the Pintos had Ford the problem Pinto. With the exploding gas tank.
Yeah, don't hit the fuckers in the rear. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Flash tank.
You're going to have to take that out, Chuck.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, but Pintos weren't the only ones that blew up when you hit them in the rear either. I think the Geos?
Ooh.
Or the Metros?
Oh, yeah. The Metros.
Actually, Ed was praising his Geo Metro in the chat. I think it was the best car he's had. He loved his Geo Metro.
Oh, is that where he's at now? Oh, Eddie boy.
Yeah,
in the chat room. Trying to hide in here now, huh?
Oh, God.
Sound like, what's his name?
Oh, jeez. Oh, Creative Access.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
You want another call?
Who did pick this day?
Yeah, we got lots of good callers on the line. You can be another if you want to call.
Yeah.
319-527-5016. Yeah. Talking cars tonight.
Man, talking cars tonight. This hour is talking vehicle cars.
What's
what?
Up, Cooley?
What I'm going?
Hang on, isn't this supposed
Uncle
to be coming
Roger, yet? Uncle Roger, telling you what's up.
Oh, fine.
Oh,
it's been a while up tonight.
It's been crazy. Yeah,
it's been crazy talk. Very good talking. This is excellent.
Well, I got a car joke.
We have to talk to what?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold
there's
on.
A lot of people talking.
Ray, you say you have a joke?
You have a joke?
Yeah, I have a car joke.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, let's hear the joke.
What's Tarzan's favorite car?
Ooh, that's a good one. a tree limb, sizable size, small vehicle.
That's probably the answer. Yeah.
Is that the answer?
I can't think of anything better than that.
That's the answer. It's got to be.
That's extremely close. A Mazda 323.
Yeah. That's what I. Is that what it is?
Oh, really? Oh,
I was right on it.
You got it, Uncle. You got it.
Oh, yeah. Because you think. Now, just a moment.
Yeah. What's that?
The guy that he just talked about. Uh-huh. You got to understand. You got to use your brain a little in this. He climbs trees, he's going all the way, so water has to connect to that, add a card to it, and bingo, you have the answer.
Okay, yeah, true.
That's how you think. You got to use that brain up there, so I kicked that brain up there. See, you're not using that up there.
I think it was the Ford Granada.
No, no.
Granada?
A Granada? Who's it? Who's got Granada?
Might have been. Might have been the Ford Granada. Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so I want to hear more about Ray's Subaru. Is up to Subaru or no, Ray?
I don't, Ray.
Sorry, I missed the half of the question.
Have you added a lot of aftermarket parts to your Subaru, or is it more stock, or what's going on with that thing, the Forester?
The Forester.
It's pretty much stock. I have added coilover suspension, and I'm about to add, well, after the show, I'm going to add some racing brakes to it.
Oh, cool.
Your Subaru
See.
Yeah.
I did have a Subaru. I had a legacy wagon, right?
It was crazy these days.
That was a good car.
Yeah, did a lot of
reels. You did some racing.
Live camera action, boys.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Howdy.
Yeah. Uncle Roger wanted me to tell you, hey, Bronze.
Oh, Roger. Okay, yes.
Hey, say hello, Roger.
Hello, Uncle Raj.
Uncle Raj. You did, man. You untied him for me.
He's got a 1964 Ford Falcon.
Ooh, Ford Falcon. Now, those are good cars. Like now, we're talking about a car. That's a good one.
You've seen that one before.
Yeah.
What
is it about these?
Do you know that one, Ray? Ford Falcon?
Ford Falcon.
Yeah, Ford Falcons were really big in Australia.
Yeah, they are. They sound pretty good, too.
I've actually got one in my shed.
Oh, you do.
I've got a 1971 Ford Falcon.
Oh, geez. What about a...
Is it two... Four-door? No,
it's not a two-door.
Oh, it's a sedan then.
Roger.
Didn't get the two-door.
Roger,
over here.
Two-door.
That's, Ray, I think you and Uncle...
Hello.
Roger need to start the Ford Falcon Club, maybe. Get the International Ford Falcon Club going. That'd be good.
Yeah, that could be
just
good.
Just throwing ideas out there.
Yeah. Get it started and then maybe connect to a show and buy him. Each other, who knows? Yeah. Didn't sound like cars.
Yes.
My old man did start the American Car Club over here in Western Australia, so yeah, probably.
Oh, cool!
Get some fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
How big has that club become now, Ray? Is it a big one?
Oh, it's fairly big. I'm not really connected to it.
Oh.
I don't go. They meet. Well, I'm not a member. I don't get any emails or notifications if. Yeah. But yeah, it's a pretty big
American club. My cruiser, it'll probably blow the doors off of that loose thing.
You talking about the PT Cruiser?
Your PT Cruiser, right, Dave Cooley?
You come to mind, let's run him off. Cooley's got the sting. Yeah, you come to high, let's line him up. For pinks, you'll be walking home because the worst thing is dangerous. Well, I ain't done yet. I got to put in my turbo and nitrous. You got to hold on.
You're going to need it.
You're going to, yeah, he's going to need it. All right.
You know, you're going to need it when you pull it up against the worst thing.
I would like to understand something here. What do you think out of these two guys talking would win a race on the red roads?
The red roads?
Yeah, on these red roads that we got out here now.
You talking about like off-road?
Yeah, off-road.
I think the Subaru would fare pretty well on off-road. The Forester's kind of made for that. So I put that high up on the list of cars we're talking about.
Yeah, the Forester's
I want the Wustang, of course. Yeah, is that true, Ray? What's it got? Tell us about it, guys.
The Forester's got all-wheel drive, so it's based off the WRX, which is a rally car.
Now, any of these cars can...
Yeah, what about the Wustang? What's that got to do on the dirt roads?
Wustang's definitely got drift potential going around corner sideways for a rally, but the PT Cruiser, you're going to be pulling that handbrake a lot to go around corners. On a dirt track.
So that's not that good enough.
I don't need to pull no handbrake.
In a dude. In a
dude.
Well, the Wustang, like you just put your foot down on the
The rear, wheel drive, right?
You don't have to drive with a stick. Is that right?
Yeah.
There
you go. You do any drifting in the Wustang, Cooley?
Yeah, I can hug a corner at 75.
They're talking.
I got a frame tied in through the unibody, so it won't stick around.
Whoa.
I like the idea of the rally race.
Hey, what was that one you were calling about that's down in the desert's going to be so many years ago?
You talking about King of the Hammers out at Johnson Valley? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody here on the call know about King of the Hammers?
Anybody know about that?
No, I don't know about that one.
No? It's an off-road event. No? Cooley, no?
No.
I say we all need to get together and start drag racing.
I knew he'd say that.
Yeah, I like that. I really like the idea of a rally race.
We could put that in the desert and do that.
Come out to Landers.
Guys, and we'll have a good going on this contest.
We'll race our circle around Giant Rock. Actually, you could do that. It'd be a cool track.
It would, because you can make a turn back. You can make a turn on it.
You can.
Yeah. That would be like a.
Uncle's been there.
Stand there. And just go around until you go in circles. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really could do that.
A Chevy.
Hey, I'm kidding. I just can't get there.
That's the problem here.
Issues is that.
Franz, if I ever hit the lottery, y'all will have a Wustang. Ford Power is where it's at.
Oh, yeah, you get a real crazy Wustang. You get an upgrade maybe then, huh?
Oh, you definitely update the car.
Wustang.
He'll update the car before he drives it around, of course. No?
I would buy everyone one and buy me a new one and put a few more gadgets on these ones and be good. But I'm supposed to tell you hi, Uncle, from the kiddos.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
Hey.
What's up, children?
What's up, honey?
Hello.
Guys.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Glad to hear from you.
Glad to hear from you.
Yeah. We try to make the show for kids, so that's good that they're listening.
They're listening to it. Huh?
Make it friendly to the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, greetings. Yeah. The other side of the planet. I'm over here in Oz.
Well, Oz.
I always forget about the Oz name. I like that. I like Oz. I always forget that one. Gotta remember that.
Oh.
It's almost like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I always refer to that part of the planet as Oceania, but that's just me.
Well, Oz is one of the four divisions of the planet in Oceania, Africa, Asia.
Well, it's Eurasia, America. Right? It's supposed to be Eurasia, isn't it? Like they combine Europe and Asia.
Is it Eurasia?
I think it's Eurasia.
Yeah. Well, they're going by land masses, what you're talking about, right, Shaq?
Yeah, well, you know, in what it's either Brave New World or 1984 also, where they divided up, because you're always at war with Eurasia or Oceania, or Oceania doesn't exist, or there is no war because war is peace. You know, so on and so forth. I think that's 1984? Yeah, it's 1984.
Yeah, that's 1984.
Up across the globe, yeah.
They fit together so seamlessly to me. I mix them up sometimes. They just do. Works together. Huxley and you know, our friend Eric Blair there.
I'm not opposed to you calling it Oceania.
There you go. Especially because it's the weirdest thing, because you know, very very few people tune into the network from over there. And those that do either really love us or really hate us, one or the other. And, of course, I was famously fired by an Australian outfit, too, last year. So.
Oh.
That's right. Yep. Oh, Oz.
You know, a guy tried to book me on a show, by the way, on that network, and did not know about me having worked for them previously, and was just like, I'm a fan of the network, and I'd like to have you and your other host come on the network here. And I was like, oh, great. Who do you want to start with? Well, you. I said, okay. And he booked me, and management told him to unbook me. So,
because they saw and thought it was you, they found out who it was.
Yeah. I tried to suggest you, Aaron, just so you know, but I don't think they're going to have you over there.
That's all right.
At least not by my suggestion. Our good friend.
Was that Carl?
Carl was also fired by that outfit.
He was?
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
You did?
He was fired. It's so funny. He was fired right after he had me on his show, too. That's the funny part.
Gosh. Man, how did a guy get fired as soon as he's on another show, and then he gets fired the next day?
Because I'm crazy, Uncle.
yeah, that gotta be true.
Don't you know I'm dangerous, Uncle?
This is like Howard Stern show now.
Kinda.
We're starting to act like Howard Stern.
Look out.
All right.
This is crazy.
Where's the lesbians?
WNBC.
Yeah.
I'm lesbian trapped in man's body. Can I represent?
Hey, whatever you got to do.
Got to do. Man.
Sounds Howard Sternish. Yeah, that probably will work.
Yeah.
We're doing it, Uncle. We're transforming into the Howard Stern show.
It's sounding like it a little bit.
We're doing it.
I don't know. I just said my name.
Live and uncut.
But, yeah, live and uncut, right, Cooley? That's what we need to be.
Yeah.
Then you can be styling and profiling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really.
It dice.
That's all we got to do, Uncle. It's not that complicated. Well, we do that sort of thing, right?
I can start working on something like that.
Yeah.
And do something. Well, to get it picked up a little on what I'm doing, should have that kind of thing in this kind of talking. I think they'll probably get some people,
you know,
really talking.
If you want to pick things up a little, why don't you have Sidekick send me those cards already?
you haven't got the cards yet?
No,
I have not.
What is you doing, Sidekick?
What am I doing?
Send out the cards.
Okay.
For Pete's sake, they were asking for cards and you don't even got them.
I don't.
Hey, yeah.
There's a lot of things I don't have.
The street team gets no love.
What you got to do is go in the back, drop a few cards in an envelope, send it out to the truck, and he'll get them.
Yeah, you see that piece of artwork that that I'm using for a chat avatar in the chat room at Ocelli.com? Aaron created that, except I flipped the black and the white around, and I think that's going to be our next thank you stickers. So let's have a race, see if I can get the thank you stickers made before I get some uncle cards, and maybe I can send them both out in the mail at the same time to people that support.
He will, though. Hey, I'm trying to get him to do some, but I don't even know where the cards even are in the garage with everything going on here.
We have them.
I know we have them. There's a bunch of them. But
I can find about that.
You guys been watching any football?
Yes.
Yeah, we
saw your team beat the Chargers last night. We did see that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, your team. Doing it, buddy. Who is...
He likes Kansas City.
Oh, you're the Kansas City fan.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, yeah. You. Hey, what do you think about that defense of San Diego, though? Is it better from the past year?
I don't know about them, but they ain't going to stop the Kansas City Chiefs. I smell another Super Bowl.
To who?
Kansas City, Uncle. He's saying Kansas City's going to the Super Bowl. That's what.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Listen very closely. Who is putting their chips in? Find out who's a team going to put their chips in this year, and that's the team that's going.
Kansas City definitely has a shot. I mean, they're
We got to see if he puts the chips in.
I'd say they just got like, chips. What's they his name?
Chips. Santa put it in the middle of the table.
Cooley, are there chips there, or aren't there? I'm not quite sure.
I mean, these players, that's what they did. They put all their chips in. Our boys put all their chips in and won it.
You're talking about the Rams now, Uncle.
Yeah.
Uncle's talking about the Rams last year.
Last year is how they do it.
They did do that.
Now let's get who's going to be the team that's going to do it this year. And
let's do
KC, yeah. You're not going to change Cooley's mind, Uncle. You know? He has been forever. Always will be.
Oh, well, I thought that Ben game was a good one, though. Really was a good one.
That was an exciting one.
Down to the wire. It's only the only thing that messed that up. I tell you what, just turned that messed that up. Him passing the ball instead of handing it to him for the touchdown.
Are you saying when Herbert threw an interception?
When Herbert had that interception. Otherwise, if he handed it off
to Eckley,
it probably would have been.
You're lucky, Cooley.
You're lucky,
you're
Cooley.
Lucky they didn't give it to Eckler there.
Yeah.
And Herbert threw that interception. We got to tell you.
Because that's where the turning point was. That was the turning point, that series.
The Chargers were done from then on. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were done.
I've noticed it.
Everyone wants to count them out, but I'm telling you, Super Bowl bound.
I don't know. Are they counting them out? I feel like Kansas City has the reputation that they're like an established, like, good team for several years now.
I really don't know who they're counting on, actually. Tell you the truth.
You never know.
Right now, I'm not sure who.
They said they count the Chiefs out because they got rid of the Cheetah and a few other ones. But I think they'll be just fine without them.
Allen. Hall went to Miami.
Jimmy, what are you saying, Jimmy?
What are you saying, Jimmy?
Sad to say, but I think that this year is going to be going to Mr. Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Not that I want that, but that's probably the way it's going to go down.
Ugh, nobody wants that. Yeah.
No. I disagree there. I disagree. Right. This coming week, they got the Bears. They got the Bears in town.
And you think the Bears are going to beat Green Bay? Is that what you're saying, Uncle?
They're improving. They've beaten that other team the first week.
They did win.
They did win that game.
Yeah, they did.
So they may have a shot of beating him.
Maybe.
I would like to see the Bears do it, though.
Yeah, a lot of people would like that, but it's hard to say. We'll see. I
don't see that happening.
Well, that's good to happen. Who knew?
Green Bay always has trouble, especially when they make it to the postseason.
Yeah, they get to the postseason. Yeah, that's the other thing. They get to the postseason, and they fall apart.
That's what we want.
You see, for example, last year, they were playing the 49ers, right? 49ers, they were playing in Green Bay,
Oh, yeah.
And they couldn't beat him. He choked. Rodgers choked.
That's right. Yeah, I do
remember. I remember that game. And then, of course, you know what happened at the end of the story? The last story. The rest of the story of that thing.
Yes, we do. Yeah. The Rams went on to beat San Francisco.
Yeah.
For, I think, the first time in the season when they counted at the postseason.
Exactly.
And then they went to the Super Bowl, and then they won the Super Bowl.
Won it over the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm getting a message from a regular listener who's at work, and they ask what is going on with the Uncle Drop glasses.
Oh, those things! This is an ending point. I'm doing a collection of glasses that I go out of town with. All right, and that's what I'm aiming to do. But now, these two people, him and his wife, says, let's put Uncle's drop glasses in.
Uh-huh.
I said, how am I going to have a picture of me with a drop glass sitting there? I have to collect all these glasses that I'm trying to do. And these two are saying, let's get in the business of doing that.
It's hard work, Uncle.
I mean,
hard work.
But that means it's out of looking out to other countries.
Yeah,
you're saying we have to travel to even expand the collection.
Good, exactly.
Well, you don't have to necessarily go out of the country.
Well, he's asking about the Uncle Drop glasses.
The next city over and get one.
Yeah, he's asking the Uncle Drop glasses that you were going to make with Uncle's face on them. Is what he's asking about.
They want Uncle the podcast branded.
Yes.
Shot glasses is what the listeners want. Uncle.
Well, who do you know that can make glass? That is the question to ask you. What friends do you have that can make glass?
I bet I could find some.
I don't have friends. I don't have friends, but there's plenty of companies out there that'll put your logo on anything. So I'm sure somebody's got shot glasses.
They definitely.
It's a guarantee.
Oh, I know who to ask. Wait a minute.
Who could we ask? Bumline Bob.
Bumline Bob. He'll know. That's right. I forget about that. I can
talk to Bumline Bob.
Bumline Bob and then talk him about that.
Wait, we're at the end of the show. Do we want to do a round of shout outs, Uncle? Because we better get to him if we are.
All right. Let's head out.
You got four.
What's that, Chuck?
One thing really quickly. You got 4 minutes past the hour. So you're
okay,
not.
Okay, cool. We got time for this.
Yes,
you
do.
Let's start it anyway because.
Sure.
We don't know how long this might take. So let's get it going. Let's go to Ray, our first caller on
the line.
Ray, who do you want to shout out to tonight?
Oh, you got out.
I'll shout out to Chuck for producing the show. You, Aaron, and Uncle for being the hosts. And. Oh, who else? I guess that's it.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, shout out.
Thank you, Ray. So wait, what was that last one?
What was it?
Shout out to all the live listeners.
Okay, thank you. Much appreciated, Ray. Thank you for calling. It was great to talk to you as always. Take care, man. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for calling in. All right.
And then let's see here. I think next we had Cooley.
No, was it? It was.
Did we get Jimmy first?
Jimmy or Cooley? One of those.
Cooley was.
I think Cooley was next. Yeah.
Cooley was. Oh, okay. Cooley next.
So Cooley, Cooley Digital 5.0. Who 5. You got to shout out to on the show tonight?
Jake the Snake from Peter Lake in San Diego, California. You guys, Chuck. Everyone around the world, and rock on.
All right. Thanks, Cooley. We appreciate your call. Call anytime, man. Always great to talk to you.
Yeah.
That's your shout-out. That's your shout-out sound effect.
Oh, that's shout-out. Okay, yeah, I get it.
I got a couple of them.
All right, cool.
That's Wilhelm.
Shout-outs.
And then I got a lady, and I got this one. Eagle.
That's a boo.
Shout out something.
Shout out.
Nice.
Next.
Well, let's go to Jimmy.
Jimmy
next. Shout outs. Jimmy James, you got a shout outs.
Shout out to, I had someone in mind. Thank you. One second. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, shout out to Don Lemon. I'm real sorry about your luck. I really hope things turn around for you real soon. God bless. All right, everyone, have a good week. Peace out.
Take care, Jimmy. There was a heartfelt message to Don Lemon there, Uncle.
Don Lemon, that's one that I think he passed.
Sure, why not? Uncle, do you want to give a shout out?
They moved it. They moved him from his nighttime show to morning. Is what happened, Uncle. Just so you know, Don Lemon.
Well, I mean, that's what's the difference, really? I mean,
I don't know.
Shout out to all the listeners that are listening and the ones that have been on the show. Shout out to y'all. And a nice shout out to our producer for Chucky.
Shout out, Chuck.
Check out, Chuck.
I'll give a shout out to Mr. Flash. He won the game last week. Flash. He sent me an email, so we're in contact.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll get the shirt set up for you there, Mr. Flash.
Oh, yeah. Got to get all them shirts going.
Shout out to all our...
Hey, finally getting shirts. Finally. Back into...
Shout out to all our YouTube subscribers and whatnot. Be sure to press the button.
What's this
Uncle,
button?
Uncle, press the button.
I don't know what this button. I have no
the button. The button. Press it now.
You got to smash the button and ring the bell.
Press this button. Here.
Press it. Smash it. Notifications. You're going to want notifications. That's right. Tell them, Ray.
Oh.
Sorry. Back up there. I said
buttons.
Smash the
support. Make them a little softer. Button. That way we can hit
him. And hit the button.
I don't know where the button is here.
Yeah, what he was trying to get across is smash that like button, you know, hit the subscribe button, and ring the bell for notifications on YouTube. Aaron, you were breaking up. That's why Ray jumped in, and now I have too. So, bandwidth issue. You, yeah, that's why.
You're breaking up. Uh-oh.
Well, that's because your bandwidth.
Shout out to Cords. Yeah. Shout out to Cords. I'm going to get Cords soon, and the show's going to be better. Shout out to Cords.
Shout out to Chords?
Yeah, Chords.
It's Chords.
Not chords you play on a musical instrument either. I'm talking about the real chords, okay? I don't want to connect you to that.
And I also got to shout out to Get Your Cards.
Shout out to Cards.
How many wants a card?
Street Cream.
And Street Cream? Who's that?
Be sure to follow Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, we had another cooler I thought in there too.
A cooler?
No, cooler.
Now we got everybody.
That was it.
We got everybody.
Oh, so we did have three. I thought we had four. I thought I had an extra one.
UncleThePodcast.com is the website. We'll see you next week on Ocelli.com for the live show. Uncle, bring us home.
There's a 276 show. Bye bye. See you next week.
Never did it? Yeah, because there's a lot of false promises.
It's fools. I can't say that.
We better not say be polite, but there are no false promises at the Ocelli.com radio network.
That's exactly it. It's truth, the point, right to the point. And this is what I like. Straight to the point.
Ocelli.
Ocelli.com.
Listen now.
Listen now.